One of the amazing things about producing the BPP here at NPR's New York Bureau was working with the talented reporters who've called this place home way before we showed up. That includes NPR's esteemed science correspondent, Robert Krulwich, who became a mentor, a standard bearer, and a butt saver. The emergency Krulwich became an all too familiar practice. You know, when a guest didn't show up or a story failed, we would always have one of Robert's pieces standing by because, one, they were always good. And sometimes, sometimes they're a little long. Gave us time to get it together.
Yeah.
And that was the birth of the emergency Krulwich. It goes a little something like this.
When you're doing a live radio show like the Bryant Park Project, sometimes things go wrong. Guests sleep through their alarms. They get stuck in traffic. And sometimes they get better offers. And when they do, the BPP is ready with a piece by NPR's esteemed science correspondent, Robert Krulwich.
Get me Krulwich!
We call it Emergency Krulwich.
But Mr. Martinez, you said only to use Emergency Krulwich in an emergency.
Damn it, man, this is an emergency. Control room, deploy Emergency Krulwich.
All right, I don't know if getting canceled qualifies as an emergency, but all I know is it brought Robert Krulwich into the studio live this morning. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
So what did you think when you first heard that we were doing this?
I was so flattered. I mean, really, it really was. I mean, that's one of the nicest things in the world. And this esteemed science correspondent is now kind of like an ESC, I call myself, secretly.
Oh, there you go.
Modestly, by myself, in a corner.
Now, one thing that you can offer our staff and our audience is a little bit of perspective on the pursuit of creating creative and informative radio. It's something you've really been dedicated to for a good long time.
Yeah.
We found something from 1978. This is a segment that aired a morning edition that was somewhat of a regular feature you did to explain economic concepts, and it was called Let's Talk Luden.
Yes.
You want to set this up?
For a little while, I was looking around for a dramatic device that would allow me to repeat the same phrase or the same thought over and over and over again without insulting the audience. And I imagined a man who was going to a country which I decided was somewhere in Middle Europe called Luden, a country where they mostly manufactured cough drops and where there was many, many interesting things to look at, but we never really knew what. And this man who had dreamed of going to Luden bought a Learning Luden record. And the thing about the Learning Luden record is that it gave me the chance I needed. So the Learning Luden record, as I guess you're about to hear, requires a repetition. So if I say to you, and then a lady comes translating on says, excuse me, but your valise is under my chair. Now you try. That's the sort of the standard thing. And then he would get very, well, you'll hear, I guess, I don't know, let me hear what you got there.
Let's hear the clip.
Okay.
Norman Bronstein is going to Luden, the fascinating North Central European city where some of the world's most beautiful cement collections are housed in the Luden Blumenhatte, the cement palace there. But before he goes, like most travelers, Norman has bought a record to help him learn some key phrases in Luden so he'll be able to get around easily and avoid serious problems of communications. So let us join Norman Bronstein now as he prepares to learn some phrases from his language record, Let's Talk Luden. Bang, 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 bang. I'm going to be talking a little Luden very soon. I got this record here. It's got an interesting here. Side one. And we'll see what we get here. Okay.
Phrases for the street.
For the street, okay.
Phrase one.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, that is my foot you are touching.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Excuse me, that is my foot you are touching.
That's funnier now that Larry Craig
no
is I'm sorry.
La es que por tu charte.
Now, you try.
I can't do that. That's too quick. Well, I didn't hear the phrase exactly. Do it again.
That was very good.
So, Robert, these segments developed quite a following.
Well, yeah. So, eventually, what would happen is he would drop the needle on something that was economic. And so the guy would go, you know, Cura, vi shalaka vien de defalto. And he would say, what does that mean? Is your city in default? And then he would wonder what that meant. And then the business of learning what default meant would be first in Luden, then in English, and then with the phrase, now you try. And yes, I did this a lot. You could well imagine people were a little puzzled by these kinds of things.
But you kept going forward with it.
We did. And this isn't one of those things I guess you kind of decide at some point in your life that that the adventure you're on is worth the adventure, and that you want to disturb people or tickle people or thrill yourself, but what you want to do it at a level which you can feel in your veins. And that is not always what is invited by the mm-hmm. companies you work for. It is not all, it's almost always not what is expected. And when you do it, when you have a really, really, really good time, two things can happen. One is you have a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that people out there can sense that you're having a really good time. And they get a little excited, a little envious, a little happy with you. And then you get a bond. And sometimes you have a really good time and they think, what the? And they hate you. And you live right between those two poles. And if you don't take that chance, you lose the opportunity to be really, really happy and to have many people really, really mad at you. But it's more fun in a way, and it's more, in a sense, in a moral sort of way, it's more important to be out on that limb than to be safe near the trunk of the tree, I've always thought. And so that's, I guess, maybe an appropriate morning sermon of some sort.
Very much so. Now, you've taken your spin at hosting. You're filling in for All Things Considered at one time.
Yeah.
With Brenda Wilson.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you put together an...
Well, these were desperate days. This was that was when the NPR was very, very small, and there was nobody around on New Year's Eve at all.
Yes.
Except me and Brenda.
Okay.
So we had to do something. And we had no tape and no reporters and no nothing. This puts the John Hockenberry situation, he has at least people to talk to.
Right.
We had nothing. Nothing. So...
Well, you made something out of nothing. Let's take a listen.
All right.
And now, Brenda Wilson's Nightmare, Part 1. Last night, Brenda Wilson was at a New Year's Eve party, and there were many famous people there, but every time she was introduced, she failed to catch the person's name. You may recognize this famous voice of 1981, but alas, Brenda did not. Listen closely.
Brenda! Brenda, I want you to meet Model Oliver. Model, this is Brenda from Public Radio. Say hi.
Hi.
Brenda, watch out for this guy. He's an absolute terror.
It's accusation without any justification. Also, no evidence that we support or promote...
Here's what I did. I went into the archives and I got just everybody that was on the news that year, Zbigniew Brzezinski and all athletes and whatever, and I just threw blind, and then I designed a cocktail party in which people would always be introduced, you couldn't hear their names, and then a voice would come on. Brenda never knew who they were, but the audience had to guess. This went on for 45 minutes. It was the whole All Things Considered. That's what we did the whole time.
Well, I'm happy to hear that that was encouraged.
No, it wasn't encouraged.
Well, I'm happy to hear that it happened and that
it
allowed.
It happened,
a little bit, like parts of this program here. Robert,
right, so that's the cool thing, is that you guys, everybody goes out and plays and you take your shots.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We can't thank you enough for all the help that you've given us and how supportive you've been and that you've allowed us to use your name in such a way.
At least you heard the name. It wasn't like, I was a moment ago.
Robert Krolwitz, thank you very, very much on behalf of
everybody.
I've been
honored to be an esteemed science correspondent. Oh, man. So cool.